Auckland Chamber of Commerce.
I'm Janice Adams. I do a show to nurture our spirits in these trying times. A show about race, every race, and courage. A show where you and I meet public figures we want to know more about and neighbors from whom we hear too little. Vitamins for the soul. Check out this week's show and get a dose for your day. Join me for the Janice Adams Show, Saturday morning at 11 on Radio Catskill. Listen local.
Keep up with the newest music from some of your favorite singer-songwriters with Now and Then. I'm Kathy Geary. Check it out. Now and Then, Saturday afternoons at 3 on Radio Catskill. Listen local.
Support for Radio Catskill comes from Bethel Woods Center for the Arts, presenting the Warren Haynes Band and the Dreams and Songs Symphonic Experience. Friday, June 7th. Tickets on sale now. Ticket information at BethelWoodCenter.org.
Good morning. Welcome to Catskill Character. I'm your host, Donna Fellenberg, and my guest today is Honesdale, Pennsylvania author Dawn McIntyre. Dawn is a member of Yarnslingers and has been writing since high school. Her fourth book, The Paper Pirate, was recently released and had a book launch at the Hawley Public Library. Let's get started and find out what makes this author tick. Here we go. Dawn, welcome to Catskill Character. I'm so happy to have you on today.
Thank you for having me.
You grew up in Passaic, New Jersey, and you moved to the Catskills when you and your now ex-husband, Bill, got married. I think it was in 1987, right?
Yes.
You chose not to go to college after high school. You worked several different jobs. And I think there's something really important in that, you know, nowadays kids think they have to go to college. And it's not necessarily true. What are your thoughts on that?
No, I agree. I would advise any kid who isn't keen on going to college to learn a trade. You can make a fine living in the trades and find something that you love to do.
Right. Or just get some life experience. Because, I mean, at 17, it's such a huge demand on a person at 17 to know what you want to do the rest of your life.
It certainly is.
It's a little crazy, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
The other thing that I thought was really wonderful that you told me about is that you and your ex-husband, Bill, got divorced, but you remained friends. And I think that's a really great thing to understand, that it's not
always like these movies that you see on TV.
A woman is running over her husband with her ex-husband with a car.
No, haven't tried that yet. No, I'm very glad that we remain friends. Bill and his sister Barbara are like family to me. And it was really the right thing for all of us to do.
Yeah, that's wonderful. And you and Bill, before you got divorced, you started a home improvement business. What did you do in the business?
I did carpentry work, tile setting, painting. And he did all of that and also plumbing and electrical work. We mainly did kitchens and bathrooms, so we did some smaller jobs too. That was a great feeling of accomplishment. You could see what you did at the end of the day.
I understand that. You know, for about 9 years in my life, I was a hairdresser. Mm-hmm. And it's such a great, I mean, you start a job, you do the job, and you finish, and you see it right in front of you.
Yeah.
In a matter of, you know, an hour or so. Not like when you're a psychotherapist, you have to wait years.
Exactly, yeah.
How did you learn to be a carpenter?
Just by doing. That's about the only way. I mean, I didn't go to trade school. We found it difficult to make a living out here. We didn't realize how low the pay scale was. Mm. So we were both handy, and we decided to just give it a try, and we learned on the job.
That really takes a lot of guts.
It did, yeah.
Did you ever have a house or remodeling that you were particularly proud, excited by?
I can't think of one offhand. I can think of one that was the opposite. We decided to do a patio for someone. It was going to be a brick patio. And we thought, well, we can do this. And then she ended up getting enormous slabs of stone instead. And it was the most difficult thing. It was the only job that I wasn't sure that we were going to be able to finish it, but we did. So that's the exact opposite of what you're asking. It was the worst job, but we did it. We finished it.
Yeah. Well, it was the worst job, but you had like a really great sense of accomplishment afterwards.
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
You know, I know you don't like to give advice, but how did you deal with your relationship as it morphed into something else when you got divorced? What would you tell someone who was going through that?
I would say just concentrate on what's positive about the other person. I mean, the marriage didn't work out, but the friendship did. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing wrong with that.
No, that's really fantastic. In a conversation that we had earlier, Dawn, we spoke a lot about perception. People see in other people what they believe, not necessarily what's really going on for that person. And you have said that life keeps getting better, which I think is fantastic. But I was wondering what life was like for you in your earlier years.
It wasn't great. But looking back, I bet that it wasn't good for others either, people that I didn't even realize were having a rough time. Mm. And it's important to learn about who you are, to also to invent yourself, to show people what you want them to see, not let people tell you who you are. And the great thing about maturing is just getting just the poise and confidence that you didn't have, confidence to be yourself and not really to care so much about what others think of you.
Yeah, that's a real problem when you're young, isn't it? Because you're worried about what everybody else is thinking.
Yep.
And of course, you're never going to know what everybody else is thinking. You just make it up in your head.
Sometimes you do. That's right.
Yeah. The thing that's important, I think, as you look back and you told me about this, was that you discovered an outlet for yourself when you were 14 through an important writing assignment that you got. Would you share that with the listener, please?
When I was in my freshman year of high school, we had a creative writing teacher who gave us an assignment to start a daily journal. And that was very helpful for me. I kept it up long after we had to do the assignment. It was a great way for a lonely kid to be able to talk to someone who, you know, though it wasn't a real person, it was easier to work out problems and whatnot. I found that when I outgrew that, I didn't want to stop writing. So I discovered that I loved to write. So what I did was I thought, maybe I can make up journals for fictional people. So I did that for a while, and that led me to write short stories and eventually novels.
Oh, so you were writing stories that were directly coming from your journal.
Well, the faux journals. Yes, exactly. Yeah.
That's wonderful. And I love that for several reasons. First of all, because it has such a positive outcome. And secondly, shout out to teachers.
Exactly.
They often have no idea what kind of effect they've had on their students.
That's true. I wish I remembered that teacher's name, that I could look her up now and thank her. But unfortunately, I don't.
Yeah, I know. I thought about this and I was thinking, you need to go back into the Passaic High School yearbooks around that time, find a picture of that woman, then you'll get her name. And since you're great at research, because you're an author,
that's right.
Maybe you can track her down.
I might be able to. You've given me an idea.
Yeah, what a gift to her that would be.
I think it would be.
So you didn't go to college, which we talked about, and that's, you know, something that I think is good for kids to hear, that you don't have to go to college to find out who you are and what you want to do. But I'm wondering, what did you do to enhance your writing chops?
I read extensively. I took some workshops. When I moved up here, I was able to meet with other authors, a lot of smart people who had a lot to teach me. And of course, with the advent of the internet, you know, the whole world is at your fingertips. So there's so much more, so much you can learn that way. And just writing, just practicing, just keep doing it.
What kind of things did you like to read?
I loved mysteries from an early age. I was given a set of Nancy Drews, and after that I went through the Hardy Boys, and it wasn't long after that that I started reading some of the Golden Age mysteries like Agatha Christie and Mary Roberts Rinehart. And they've just always been my favorite. I don't know if it's because they were the first books I loved, but they still remain. Mysteries are still my favorite.
Didn't you start a writer's group up here in Calicoon in 2013? I forget what the name of it was, but I'm pretty sure I heard you say you were one of the founders of this group.
Yeah, two colleagues and I started a writer's group. We actually met in the Hawley Library.
Okay.
And we came to be known the Delaware Valley Writers Circle eventually.
And is that group still in existence?
It still is. We meet on Zoom now. That was because of the pandemic, but we discovered that we liked Zoom. We have members that had to drive 45 minutes to the library, and now they don't. If it snows in the winter, that doesn't mess up a meeting. We've had people that have joined from vacation because they can on Zoom. So we've stuck with it. We really enjoy it.
You know, I wish you would tell the listener about your first experience writing a book. It didn't turn out exactly as you wanted, but I think it's a really good thing for people who maybe are thinking of writing to understand that it doesn't always go exactly the way you want it to.
No, the first one, I guess I was not really prepared to write a novel. It ended up being like a 76,000 word character study. And it really didn't have much of a plot. And eventually I just kind of punched holes in it and put it in a binder, and I called it a book and I moved on. And that really helped me to have done that, because I've done a lot of good things since then and not had that on my mind.
Was there a character that you just couldn't move away from? Is that what was happening? Why did it take so much of your soul, as it were?
I love the character, but there was really no plot. You have to have a novel has to have a plot. It has to have a story arc. It has to have a plot. And this was just a lot of stuff about this character that I thought was really cool, but it's not a book. And that's fine, because everything that a writer writes is good. It's either a good story or good practice. So this one ended up being good practice, and it taught me a lot, and I moved on from there.
And where did you go after that? What was your second book?
The second book was Zookeeper, and I self-published that one because I was not able to find a publisher. I had a lot of fun with that. Definitely was not profitable, but it was emotionally. I just had a lot of fun doing it, and I'm happy that I gave it a shot. But I'm much happier to have a publisher this time around.
Oh, sure. Didn't you write a book called Dead Inside?
No, that was a short story.
Oh, tell me about that.
It was about a woman who was stopped at a rest stop to get some coffee on the way home from a weekend trip. And she saw a bulletin board, and on the bulletin board was a question to the children: what are you going to be for Halloween? And someone had written, obviously an adult, had written the same thing I am the other 364 days a year, dead inside. It was bad weather, so she was hung around for a while. She happened to meet the person who wrote that. Got to talk to him. She actually made him feel better about himself, but it made her remember an unfortunate incident from her past. And so as he was moving up in his life, she was, you know, going downhill.
You've been listening to Catskill Character with today's guest, author Dawn McIntyre. This is Radio Catskill. I'm Donna Fellenberg, and we'll be right back after these messages.
Starting May of 2025, a real ID or an enhanced ID will be required to fly, including domestically. A regular driver's license won't be accepted at the airport, even for U.S. travel. New IDs are available now at the DMV, and full Department of Motor Vehicle services are available in Monticello, Liberty, Jeffersonville, Grahamsville, and Bloomingburg. Appointments and more information at sullivanny.us under Make Your DMV Appointment, paid for by Sullivan County Government.
This Week in This American Life, Jackson was bitten by a spider, a black widow, very poisonous. And he knew about spiders, knew he needed medical attention, but didn't do anything.
So I'm fishing while I'm mulling this over.
Wait, you started fishing?
Yeah, I mean, I'm there. There's the water. There's the net.
People who have not caught up to the reality that they're living in. That's this week.
Saturday at 6 on Radio Catskill.
Hey, it's Francis Lamb, host of The Splendid Table. This week, we're taking your cooking questions with Chef Robin Mai, and Nick Sharma, author of The Flavor Equation, stops by with some great ideas for crispy toppings to amp up any meal. It's coming up on The Splendid Table.
The Splendid Table, Sunday morning at 11 on Radio Catskill.
Welcome back to Catskill Character. If you've just tuned in, I'm your host, Donna Fellenberg, and joining me on the show today is Honesdale author and member of Yarn Slingers, Dawn McIntyre. In the first half of the show, Dawn told us a little bit about herself growing up in Passaic, New Jersey, her brief but important marriage to Bill McIntyre in the beginnings of her writing career, how she got to where she is today, the author of several books, including the just released cozy mystery, The Paper Pirate. Let's get back to it and talk more about writing. Dawn, I think you need to tell the listener what a cozy mystery is.
Of course. A cozy mystery is one that lacks graphic violence or graphic sex. A character might see someone lying in a pool of blood on the drawing room floor, but that's it. Then we move on to collecting the clues and finding out who did it. But we don't get a blow-by-blow description of the horrible end that the person came to.
You know, I think that's fantastic. About the Paper Pirate, that's the name of a bookstore, correct?
Yes, it is. Yeah. It's a cozy mystery. Five bookstore owners are harassed by a couple who are after a very valuable book that the shopkeepers don't even realize is on their shelf. And when the store and then their homes are broken into, it's up to them to figure out what's going on before someone gets hurt. There's a kind of a range of cozy mysteries. Some are more precious, and this one is kind of at the other end of the scale, a little more edgy, but it still is a cozy.
I'm reading the book now. One of the things I like about it is the characters are either middle-aged or seniors. Was that intentional on your part?
It was. I didn't really make a big deal of it. They just happened to be that age, and they happened to do the same thing that characters and younger characters in other books do. But yeah, that was definitely intentional.
Dawn, would you mind sharing your process? How does Dawn McIntyre go about writing a book?
I find that outlining is very important to me. Plotting is the most difficult part for me. Some writers hate to outline, and that's fine. But for me, it really works. It prevents me from going off on tangents and writing dozens of pages that are, they may be good, but they really have nothing to do with the story I want to write. So I actually pull out one of those big desk blotter calendars with the big squares, and I use sticky notes, and I make a casual outline. And this way, whatever I'm writing has to fit in. If it doesn't, then I just jot it down and it could be an idea for another story. But it enables me to finish a story in a reasonable amount of time.
You know, I've heard authors that they don't know how the story is going to end when they sit down to write. So that's a different approach than you have. Has it ever happened to you as you're going along that the plot takes a different turn?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. I normally don't know the end till I'm about in the middle. With The Paper Pirate, I actually knew what the end was going to be from the very beginning. And I think that's the only time that's ever happened to me.
Ah, well, I don't want to give anything away. So
no, it's a great ending. So definitely don't give the ending away.
Well, actually, I can't give it away because I'm not there yet. So let's talk about plotting. I know it sounds silly, but here's the question. Tell the listener what plotting is, how you go about plotting.
You have to decide what your story arc is going to be. What happens to the characters first? What happens to the characters next? Leading up to a climax, and then after that, just a very, very brief wrap up. So that's really what it is. What happens to them at every step along the way? That's what plotting is.
Okay. There are a lot of characters in the paper Pirate. It's the five bookstore owners. And I was wondering if you grow to like some of them more than others.
Oh, yes, I do, definitely. I think my favorites in this book were Charlie and Felicia.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. I usually end up with a favorite, yeah.
And how did you feel about Vinny?
Oh, I liked her too. I really liked them all. I'm very, very pleased with the story, so I guess I liked everybody, even the villains.
Yes, the villains are... I don't know what's going to happen with them, but they are a strange duo.
They are.
I think you're really, in this book, you know, it's interesting because you're really touching on women being subjugated to men. The relationship between the male and the female, quote unquote, villain is very much kind of a struggle about that.
It's funny because I really didn't view her sympathetically at all. She's lazy. She could easily make a living for herself and get away from him, but she wants a better lifestyle. But she aroused so much sympathy with my writers group. They all felt bad for her. It struck me as odd, but I guess, you know, that's the way a lot of people are going to feel. To me, it was like, well, why don't you just get a job and get on your own?
Yeah, see, I was looking at her as somebody who wants the finer things in life, mm-hmm. but she doesn't see a road for herself to get there. She's got to be with a man to arrive at that point.
She will debase herself to have those finer things.
Yeah.
That's what I didn't respect about her, but others were very sympathetic. So, hey, you know, everybody looks at things in a different way.
Yeah, I guess you don't know when you're writing a character exactly how your readers are going to feel about them.
That's true.
You know, I was thinking, and I was wondering about this. You said that you don't fashion your characters after yourself.
Correct.
But how do you keep yourself out of this? There's got to be some aspects of yourself that kind of wind their way into some of your characters, no?
I've never written other than one time. I must have been right out of high school. I wrote a story with myself as the character with a different name. And it was very awkward, very embarrassing. And I decided I was never going to do that again. But obviously, if you think about it, all the characters come from the author's imagination. Mm-hmm. So one of them is going to have had an experience that the author had. One of them is going to have gone to a place that the author went. So there's a little of the author in everyone, but since that one bad experience, I have never written myself as one of the characters. Some authors do, and there's nothing wrong with that at all. But I wasn't comfortable with it.
Yeah, well, the difference is that when you were in high school and you wrote this, you were purposely doing that. But I think what I imagine happens is you unconsciously slip a little bit of yourself into certain characters when it works. It's not something you're doing intentionally. It's just part of you and who you are. And well, it just comes out organically.
Well, you write what you know. So if you're familiar with something, it's comfortable to have one of the characters familiar with it because it's something you don't have to research. So, yeah, I think that I do that. And I think probably all authors do that.
Yeah. You know, I was thinking that there's kind of a strange similarity between building, remodeling a house, and building a book. What do you think?
I agree. A book has to have a structure. You're not just typing 300 pages of stuff. You know, you have to introduce your characters, introduce your conflict. You have to have a story arc. As I had said, it has to lead up to a conflict and then be resolved. And it is, in a way, it's very much like that.
How does one go about getting their work published these days? You've done it two ways, mm-hmm. self-publishing, which maybe you could say a few words about, and then getting a publisher.
I queried on my second book, but the self-published book, about 40 times, and I gave up on it and decided that I would self-publish. As I said, I enjoyed it, but it was not profitable in any way. And also, self-published books don't get a lot of respect. Some of them really are just not ready. They're not polished. They're not edited. So even the ones that are better just don't get, you know, the kind of respect that a published book gets. In this case, I decided not to bother querying agents looking for a contract with a big publishing house, but I queried small presses directly. And I think I only sent out about 8 or 9, and 2 people agreed to read the entire manuscript. And that never happened to me before.
Mm.
Running Wild just happened to be the one who read it first and offered me a contract first. And I researched them a little and found they were good guys, and I went with them. But I would recommend any author try small presses or even academic presses if you're writing nonfiction, something, you know, in your field, rather than worry about getting a contract with a big publisher. They have to make a lot of money on every book that they publish. And maybe they don't think yours is going to be a bestseller. But a small press just has to think that they're going to make a profit on the book and they can take a chance on you.
Yeah. Well, you really need to have a certain amount of tenaciousness and confidence. You've said that you've never been afraid of aging, which is not something you hear very often nowadays. And you also said that life keeps getting better. At what point in your life did you begin to feel this way?
Probably around 50, which is now about 12 years ago. I started writing much more and much better stuff after that than in all the decades before. And I'm lucky that I still have my health, because aging is fun until you no longer have your health. And I realize that, and I don't mean to make light of it. But I've been fortunate. And for me, definitely, things are getting better every year.
Oh, that's great. Well, I think that's a really good note of positivity to end on, Dawn. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thanks for having me.
And, you know, before you go, tell us where we can purchase your book.
Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, Walmart.com, or your local bookseller.
Do you have a website?
I do. It's DawnMcIntyreAuthor.com.
Okay, great. Thanks again, Dawn. I really enjoyed speaking with you. Good luck with The Paper Pirate.
Thank you very much.
That's it for Catskill Character today. My guest has been author Dawn McIntyre. Dawn's website is dawnmcintyreauthor.com. Dawn, as I said, is a member of Yarn Slingers, so you should be sure to check the Yarn Slingers Facebook page and find out when she'll be performing with them. Catskill Character is on every Saturday at 10:30, except the last Saturday of the month, when Greg Triggs brings us Travels with Triggs. Be sure to tune in then for more conversations with fabulous characters of the Catskills and beyond. This is Radio Catskill. I'm Donna Fellenberg. Thanks so much for listening.
Support comes from Garnet Health Medical Center, Catskills, with campuses in Harris and Calicoon, offering inpatient and outpatient services to Sullivan County and surrounding communities. Learn more at garnethealth.org. From Livingston Manor, dining, shopping, and the arts at the gateway to the Catskill Park, livingstonmanorny.com.
When he was a kid, Scott Barry Kaufman took a test that determined the direction of his life.
I know I took this test, I know it was a terrifying experience, and then I know I was shipped off, taken away from all my friends. So, that was, like, pretty traumatic.
One man's mission to break down the barriers that held him back, this week on Hidden Brain from NPR.
Monday afternoon at 1 on Radio Catskill. I'm Callison Stratton, a singer-songwriter, public historian, and host of Liberation Station here on WJFF Radio Catskill. Liberation Station is a show that highlights the work of female and femme-presenting performers across genre and time. It's my little way of balancing the scales of representation on the radio. Join me for Liberation Station every Saturday evening at 7 p.m., only on Radio Catskill. Listen local.
WJFF Jeffersonville, W233.